Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. The young Jesuit clergymen, known as God's soldiers, who lived in the interior of North America, put down the first real roots of French culture in the New World. The first Jesuits to come to the New World landed in the St. Lawrence Valley in 1620. They very quickly realized that it would be difficult to convert the local, semi-nomadic Algonquin Indians because they never stayed in one place for very long. Consequently, they decided to concentrate most of their efforts on the more sedentary Huron farmers of Ontario. Soon, Black Robes, as the native peoples called the Jesuits, were traveling in the canoes of the Indians up the Ottawa River to Huronia. By the 1630s, a number of Jesuit missions had been established in southern Ontario, with their headquarters at St. Marie. This mission was a microcosm of French civilization, complete with a chapel, cemetery, forge, workshops, and a small hospital. Meanwhile, the Jesuits in the St. Lawrence Valley founded a school for Amerindian and French boys in 1635. 4 years later, a group of Ursuline nuns arrived to set up a convent school for girls, while the nursing order Religieuse Hospitalière established one of the first hospitals in North America and the first in New France, Hôtel Dieu in Quebec. During a recent interview, I broached this complicated topic. Here are a few excerpts of my thoughts on the matter. In New France, the French established an extensive colony in the New World from 1534 to 1763. The natives quickly became dependent on European manufactured goods, products, and weapons. Initially, Europeans, especially the French, sought to trade, not conquer. But as the fur trade moved further west and slowly diminished in importance, land cultivation took hold. Europeans displaced the First Nations. As mentioned, native North Americans were technologically wanting, and this put them at a great disadvantage when faced with invaders that were at first technologically superior and later numerically superior. Native peoples were shown as living harmoniously and peacefully until the inevitable encroachment of the violent white army and settlers who were the harmful disruptive influence on Amerindian culture and landscape. These representations were far from the days of whitewashing in pre-60s traditional depictions of native peoples, where white actors in the old John Wayne movies were cast for roles not meant for them. When instead of hiring someone that fit the intended race or ethnicity of a character, a white person was traditionally given that role. Old Hollywood whitewashing had a two-pronged effect, for not only did it impede Native American representation in film, but it also forced them into stereotypical roles. Some believe, however, that the pendulum has swung from one extreme to the other and that nowadays a simplistic one-dimensional depiction of both cultures has returned to the big screen, but in a totally opposite way or reverse manner. Some feel Amerindians are now often depicted as flawless and virtuous victims, while Euro-Americans are portrayed as cardboard villains. I believe that both extremes of the spectrum, gamut, or pendulum are simplistic, immature, unsophisticated, false, childish, and ultimately boring. Two wrongs don't make a right. I found that the truth usually lies in the middle. All human history is awash in gray. Simple-minded, bipolar interpretations and presentations are a waste of time. All peoples and cultures should be portrayed in the arts as they appear in the real world. Multifaceted, complex beings. In other words, the good, the bad, the positive, the negative, the culture, the cruelty, the beauty, the brutality, the sophistication, and the savagery. The Huron tribes were scattered throughout Quebec, Ontario, and into the Great Lakes region. The priest wanting or being sent by the powers that be in his religious order to the limits of the Huron nation. That whole voyage, it shows the distances and also the willingness of this religious order and of these priests and these individuals to go about their work, which is quite fascinating to our modern senses. But I have to come back once again to the culture shock on both sides, which we should never underestimate. For example, the natives cannot understand why French priests refrain from relations with women. They view this as strange and even demonic. On the other hand, The uninhibited, free, and natural love practiced by the natives is viewed as strange, primitive, and sinful by the priests. Once again, the cultural gaps and misunderstandings were enormous. History irrefutably teaches us that all human beings have the potential of being evil, and when given the power and opportunity, they are. The universal principle of force and might make right applies to all people, cultures, nations, and continents throughout world history, including North America's pre-Columbian societies. This shows us humanity at all its best and worst. Amerindian way of life was not inferior or superior, it was just different. In certain areas, among certain tribes, warfare and feuding were endemic. Also, Aboriginal arrival and presence on the continent had serious environmental consequences. For example, some believe Paleo-Americans hunted certain megafauna to extinction. I invite the audience to check out episodes 3 to 11 of my podcast for more on all of this. Also, in the great unwitting exchange of bacteria, viruses, and infectious diseases that transpired between the peoples of two worlds, unfortunately for the North American indigenous peoples, it was they who got the shorter end of the stick and thus inadvertently suffered most. In the 16th century, Eurasian diseases such as smallpox and measles, which were endemic among the colonists but new to North America, caused the deaths of 90% of the indigenous people, resulting in great losses to their societies and cultures. Europeans thus unknowingly unleashed a form of bacterial epidemic to which Aboriginal peoples had no immunity that ravaged the original inhabitants of the continent. After European contact, Amerindians suffered high fatalities of Eurasian diseases. Studies have shown the diseases were likely carried by the increased number of immigrants where smallpox was prevalent. There were several tribes that inhabited northeastern North America. There were the Algonquin, part of the Huron Nation, the Montagnais, and then the Iroquois, the Mohawks. The Montagnais at first are depicted as having never actually met Europeans, so that was a moment of first contact which occurred between those people and them actually seeing Europeans for the first time, and they make some comments about their bearded faces, saying that they look like dogs. With regards to the Iroquois, they are not depicted in a good light at all points, and there were some critics who objected to that. Well, at the time, the Iroquois Confederacy and the Huron Nations were enemies. One of the reasons why they were enemies during the early colonization of the continent by Europeans was the fur trade. And who would control the fur trade? Who would supply the Europeans with the furs and control of the corresponding territories? With regards to the French living in New France and the fur trade, the Hurons were allies of the French, and the Iroquois thus saw the French as being enemies and saw these Jesuit priests who seemed to be only bringing disease and mayhem wherever they went as the enemy, and that's why they were very belligerent towards them. The Amerindians of northeastern North America did live in sophisticated societies, and actually some of their government structure was used as a model later on, even in the founding of the United States. So a lot of light has been shed on this in the past few decades, which is something that is to be appreciated, not only by historians, but fans of the historiosity, and also bringing to light the positive side of Amerindians to what has not always been a kind approach when it comes to the historiosity of their culture. During the pre-Columbian years, there wasn't a lot of direct trade because of the distance, but there was indirect trade in that items that had been traded in approximate way had trickled down to both cultures. So we find often Mesoamerican items, art, and artifacts that are found up in northern North America because they were traded basically from one tribe to the next, from one nation to the next, from one area to the next, and moved their way all the way up to the northern part of the continent. I hope you enjoyed these interview excerpts. Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying visuals, including maps, charts, timelines, photos, illustrations, and diagrams. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride. The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.